like you to invite you to turn back with me to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Here Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Many years ago, when I was in Sunday school, and when maybe some of you were in Sunday school, we learned parts of the Bible. We learned catechisms and a verse of the metrical psalm, that is the psalms we sing, and a verse of scripture. Don't think that's done often nowadays. Different ways of teaching now than there were back then in the day. But one of the passages that was often, I think, chosen for memorization was Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Of course, when I did it, it was the King James Version we used, but the meaning was the same. Words are similar, but not identical. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But you can learn verses like that as a child, or even older perhaps, but as a child particularly, and not really realize the significance. That was certainly the case for me. Not the case for everyone, but the case for me certainly. I didn't understand what those words really meant. Though they're very simple, and that this is going to be a simple sermon. A simple gospel, I hope, sermon on this verse 28. "Come to me." I'm going to have four headings. One, the invitation, which is like in the children's talk, "Come, come to me," or "Come unto me." Second, the issuer of the invitation, the inviter, "Come unto me. Come to me." Thirdly, the invited, the persons to whom this is addressed. "All who labor and are heavy laden," or "all you who labor and are heavy laden." And the promise at the end of the verse, "And I will give you rest." I'll try to end with a little bit of application. But I'm going to change the order of doing those and first of all look at the speaker, because to know something about the invitation, you really have to know who's inviting you. The speaker here, the inviter, the host, the issuer of the invitation, who is that? Well, clearly, it's Jesus. Jesus is telling the story. We know that because it's at that time Jesus declared. And we know, if we have a red text Bible, we know these are the words of Jesus because they're in red. But not everybody has a red text Bible. The pulpit Bible isn't red text. But how do we know it's from Jesus? Because it says Jesus declared, and it's not narrative, it's him speaking. And he's including in this his address to these people is, "Come to me, all who labor," etc. So Jesus is the inviter. Jesus is the one who's inviting. Why is that important, do you think? Why is it important that Jesus is issuing this? Well, because there can be false invitations. There can be invitations from people who don't have authority or power to invite. Was there ever a time you were ever invited to a party or something by someone who actually wasn't holding the party, but they'd just been invited themselves? You might be invited somewhere with a plus one, but not with a plus three or four, normally. So that is not a valid invitation. This is an invitation from someone who has the authority to invite. He's got the ability to fulfill what he's going to say in the rest of this verse. He's almighty. He's loving. He knows us and he invites us. He's trustworthy. We can trust his invitation It's meant. It's intended. It's not a cruel, practical joke. He's faithful to his word. He's always honest. He's always dependable, always reliable. Unlike the best of people, the best of us is not always reliable. And some of us are very often not reliable. Sometimes we think we can do something, but we can't actually do it. Events turn against us and we're not able to overcome them. Sometimes we don't really sincerely say what we, or mean what we say, I should say. But Jesus always does. Always means what he says. And he's always trustworthy. So Jesus is the inviter here. Jesus is the person inviting the people he's inviting. Let's get to that later. Back to the invitation itself. What's the invitation? It's not difficult. It's not hard to understand. It's not some sort of difficult process to go through. He's not saying you need to qualify. You know, like, in, for example, in whatever it is, whether it's MasterChef or the British Open or Wimbledon tennis, there's qualifying rounds. They're not on TV or anything. If you don't get through those, you don't get on TV. He's not saying you have to qualify. He's just saying, come. Come to me. It's the simplest thing. Like you say to a child, as I was talking in the children's talk, the simplest thing you can do is say, come to me. It's clear. It's obvious. It's welcoming. He didn't say, go to work. He doesn't say, pay me something. Give me some money for this. Give me some whatever. He doesn't say, wait and see what I'll do. He just says, come. Come to me. He says, come to me. And he means by that, come to me. Leave your sin behind. Come to me. Trust in me. Follow me. He said that to his disciples, didn't he? Follow him. Follow me. And they followed him. They left their boats and nets in some cases. Sometimes they went back to them to supplement their income sometimes. Matthew didn't. Matthew gave up a very lucrative job as a tax collector for the Romans. He'd have been minted. He left it all behind to follow Jesus. He doesn't say, come to Shawbus Free Church or any other church. He doesn't say, come to Sunday services. He doesn't say, come to the prayer meeting. These are good things, but that's not what the invitation is. He doesn't say, come to the Lord's table. He doesn't say, come to hear ministers, certainly not to hear lay preachers, especially when there's a minister sitting in the congregation. He doesn't say, come to know about me. He doesn't say, come to learn Christian doctrine. He says, come to me. Come to me in faith. Simple believing faith. Just come to me. It's that simple. It couldn't be more simple. But how many times have you heard it? Maybe you long since answered that call with a positive response. And you have come to Jesus. Praise God for that. But you always want to see more people coming to Jesus, don't you? And there are some, I'm sure, here that have not yet bowed the knee or come to Jesus. And if there aren't, that's good for the people here, but what about the people outside in Shawbus Bragger in your surrounding district? The come to me is addressed in a minute to many. But not only does Jesus say, come to me, he means come all the way. Don't stop halfway. Don't take a few steps and stop. You need to come all the way to Jesus. Don't be satisfied with anything less than Jesus. Don't be satisfied with church or anything else or fellowship. Only if it's fellowship with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's the way that's in whom our fellowship needs to be. And it is truly, if we are trusting in him and looking to him and with others like-minded, then our fellowship will be with God. Because if it's not that, then it's just friendship. And that's not what we need. Though if friendship is good, up to a point. It's useful. It's helpful. We all want some. But we need fellowship with God above all. So come to me, he says. How do you come? Just as you are. Can't make yourself worthy to come. Can't make yourself beautiful to Jesus to come. You just have to come with your sin. We all have to come with our sin. Don't put me saying you. We all have to do that. So that's the invitation and the inviter. What about the third thing I mentioned? Third thing is those who are addressed, the invited, the invitees, the guests, all who labor and are heavy laden. Now, this is the one part of the verse where a lot of different versions have different renderings. Virtually all the versions, the modern versions anyway, English versions, have the same beginning and end. They're all come to me. And they're all, I will give you rest. I think one says, I will give you refreshment, I'll refresh you. But the middle part, that's the one where there's different ways of expressing that, but they all really mean the same sort of thing. Labor and heavy laden, weary and burdened, carrying heavy burdens, tired of carrying heavy loads, troubled and weighed down with care. The toiling and burdened ones. These are all different English translations of this middle part of the verse. Or the Message has, which is a kind of paraphrase, more translation, says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Those who are addressed are those to whom Jesus is speaking. But not just there. Not just in Palestine 2,000 years ago, in that setting, but throughout the ages, through his word, which we have, thankfully, we have before us. So it's to us, it's to all who read it. It's to people everywhere, innumerable number of people. Through these thousands of years, millions, billions of people have heard it. Billions of people need to hear it now. And this is to all, because it's all who are weary and heavy laden. Now, you may not feel you're weary and heavy laden. You might have a very good life. But we're not talking about it. It's not a social gospel. It's not saying those who are beaten down by oppression, those who are struggling, those who don't have enough to get by. He's talking spiritually. Who is making it on their own? Do you think you're making it? Well, that's sad if you do, because I can assure you, you're not making it unless you know Jesus. So it's not just those opposed by governments, not those opposed by any enemies. It's all oppressed by sin. Sin is the problem. Sin's the difficulty. Those of us who are struggling, losing the battle on our own. We can't do anything but lose the battle on our own. We can only win the battle with Jesus or in Jesus. So if we're weary and heavy laden, it's not the government's fault. It's not our neighbor's fault, or our spouse's fault, or anybody else's fault. It's sin. Sin is the problem. So do you qualify? Do you qualify for this? Do you count yourself amongst those who are invited? Are you going to say, no, I'm not invited, because I'm not weary and heavy laden, so it's not for me. I'm better than that. See, no one can disqualify you from this. Church can't. Minister can't. Elders can't. Neighbors can't. Nobody can disqualify you from this. Only you can disqualify yourself from this. Only you can say, this isn't for me. And maybe you've said that. Maybe you're still saying that. Maybe those you love are saying that. Those in your families. Maybe the ones that don't come here anymore or have moved away and they don't go to the house of God where they are. They qualify. And if you've come to Jesus, you know that you have qualified. And you know if you didn't have Jesus, you'd still be struggling and heavy laden and laboring. You might still feel you're doing that now. But you've got Jesus to uphold you because he is the one that gives rest, which we're coming to in a moment. So how can you be disqualified? Just by your own decision. Are you too big a sinner? For that said, I'm too big a sinner. I've sinned too much. God can't forgive me. That's nonsense. Look at the examples in Scripture. People like Manasseh. Don't know how wicked you are, but suspect not as openly wicked as Manasseh. Read about him in the Old Testament. Are you too much a sinner? You're not too much a sinner. Are you not yet converted? Well, that's the point. Come to Jesus. Are you not in the elect? That's not your business or mine or any person's business. That's God's business. And the only way you can ever show that you're not elect is to refuse, is to put up the hand to Jesus and say, no, I won't have it. We mustn't do that. We can only be disqualified by ourselves, just making that decision. So what should we do with the invitation? Well, that's a matter for each person. What are we going to do with the invitation? Nobody can accept it for you. Nobody can write and say, Kenny Smith's coming. He'll be there. Kenny Smith might not want to go. Let's say Alex McCritchie will be there. I might not want to be there. Nobody can accept on my behalf. I have to accept it. Kenny has to accept it. Everyone has to accept it for themselves. And then there's a promise. The promise is, the last part of the verse, I will give you rest. Now, some people are tired. They work too hard. They're worn to the bone. They're trying to burn the candle at both ends to keep body and soul together. They're working two jobs or whatever it is, double shifts, or working a job and looking after the house as well. Or they've got too many animals or whatever it is. There's people who are tired and worn out. But it's not that sort of rest. Though that rest is good, but that rest is not vital. It's not save your soul. This is the rest, the peace of soul, rest of heart, so that you're conscious of God's love. That's the rest he's talking about. Not in a worldly sense, but in a spiritual sense. That of rest is available. Freely available in the gospel. That's one of the wonderful things about the gospel. There's lots of wonderful things about the gospel. Can't list them all, but one of the things is it's free. It's freely given. Can't be earned. If it could be earned, we wouldn't have enough to pay for it. If it could be earned, we might not measure up. But it can't be earned. It's freely given. All we can do with it is receive it with thanks or reject it with disdain. There's no other way. There's two ways. Receive Jesus or don't receive Jesus. Say, Jesus is worthy of my obedience, of my accepting his invitation. Oh, he's not. He's not worth it. He's not trustworthy. Who's going to say that? Would you say that to him if he were here personally with us? Would you say that on that great day when we'll all be before him? I can tell you, nobody will be able to open a mouth and say anything against him then. I hope this makes sense to you. I hope this makes sense to you whether you've already received the invitation and accepted it, or whether you haven't yet, or whether you're still thinking about it. What if you're still thinking about it and have been for a long time? Well, don't keep on thinking, because this is the day of salvation. Have you heard the invitation, if you heard it before today, I guarantee you have if you've been in church before. And looking at you, I suspect you all have been here before. Maybe many years, some of you. And if you recognize that it applies to you, this invitation? Yes or no? You answer that to yourself. Don't stand up and speak to others unless you want to. What about the inviter, Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know him for yourself? Do you understand where he's coming from? Do you fear him? That's a good thing, by the way. Do you love him? Are you willing to do so? He's trustworthy and true. So are you one of the addressed? Are you someone that could say, well, that's for me. That's the gospel that's being offered to me. That's the gospel I should accept. That's the gospel that I might never hear again. Because the promise is to give us rest. Do you believe the promise? See, sometimes it's an invitation, but there's no real upside. Like the bank send you a questionnaire. There's no prize to fill it out. Why are you going to spend 2 minutes on it? I'm not, can't even be going to a prize draw for anything. What good is that? No, thank you. Delete. That's not using it. They're not using the heads of things. That's a marketing trick that's going to work. But this has got a plus to it. It's got the greatest plus in the world. It's got Jesus saying he personally will give us rest. So do you want that rest? Do you want that rest for the rest of your life? Do you want that rest for eternity? No one else is excluding you. Nobody here is excluding you. Nobody anywhere is excluding you, unless you're excluding yourself. I want to finish with one of the great quotes. I just love this quote. It's from Jim Elliot, the martyred missionary, which is 60 or almost 70 years ago now in South America. And Jim Elliot said, who gave up his life for the gospel, remember? He and his four companions who were all murdered by people that later came to faith. But at the time they were heathens. They hadn't really seen white people before. They thought they were a threat. But Jim Elliot said, he's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We cannot keep this life. We need to receive Jesus. Because if we receive Jesus, we put him first, ahead of us. We say, Jesus first, others, and then myself. But Jesus first, principally. And you can't lose that. You'll never lose that. Because Jesus says, no one shall pluck them out of my hand. No one shall snatch my people from my Father's hand. There's utter security in Jesus. So that's why his invitation, it is also a command, really, but he phrases it like an invitation. Because we all must obey. When I say must, we ought to, and if we don't, there will be consequences. But there is a promise attached to accepting the invitation. And the promise is, Jesus will give you rest. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, our God, take our worship, take our words, poor as they are, and use them, apply them to hearts and souls for blessing. Take all glory to yourself in what we've said and what we've done here together as we worship together. And bless anyone who has not yet received Jesus for themselves. Bless them with the obedience, the desire, the wish, the concern to take Jesus at his word and to receive the blessings of the gospel. All we ask is in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.